Hello, everyone. Welcome to an action-packed ARG Presents. I'm Amigo Aaron, joined by a man who needs constant supervision. I give you the Brent.
It's true. If my wife lets me out of her sight for more than 10 minutes in a department store, I go and I hide in the clothing.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. You'd think you'd have some better duds then. So, last week, if you joined us, we spun the wheel. We made the exciting deal, the bizarre deal. And this week, Brent, we're going to be playing games on the bizarre supervision.
Come on, Aaron. Say the name, Aaron. Say the name.
The Watara Supervision. There you go. The Watara Supervision. Brent, I'd never heard of the Watara Supervision in my whole life. What about you?
Actually, I have heard about it multiple times and completely forgot about it. So there you go.
Really? Yeah. I was stunned when I started looking this thing up, and every YouTuber on Earth had touched this thing. It's one of those weird things because a lot of YouTubers touched it, but there wasn't a ton of stuff out there on it. I mean, I don't know if there's a lot of stuff to be found on the Watara Supervision, but by God, we dug it as deep as we could on this bad boy. I've got some facts here. I printed out a beautiful article here for Racket Boy over there, which I like his site. Very cool. Let's talk about this crazy little handheld, Brent. Again, this thing was built to compete with the original Game Boy, Brent, by a Taiwanese company, and this thing has actually a little bit better specs in some ways than the Game Boy. It's an 8.
Sorta.
It does. It's got a bigger screen. It runs on 4 AA batteries. It'll use the exact same power adapter that the Game Boy does as well. Of course, it's got a cartridge slot. It's got a multiplayer port. You know, sound is 4 tonal and 1 noise channel. Not too bad. There's a dial for the volume. This thing has several different looks to it. I guess would be the best way to put it, Brent. You've got your classic Game Boy look. It looks like a slightly bigger Game Boy.
Yep.
Then you've got the version, if you're watching the video, that you see before you, where the top and the bottom are sort of separated by this, like, what would you call that, Brent? A bendable section? How about that?
That is a flexible neck piece.
Very good, man. That's it.
No,
yeah.
I don't know what it is, man. I'm just jacking you around.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I got nothing.
So, what this thing can do is actually bend upwards. So you can sort of hold the bottom part with the controls, and the top part kind of bend up. The controls are pretty much the same as the Game Boy. You've got your crosshair gamepad, except this one's a little more filled in, and you've got your two buttons for play, and then you got a start and select button. It's pretty much the same gimmick. These guys had a cutting plan, Brent. When they saw the Game Boy success, they said, hey, we got to get us some of that sweet action. And what we're going to do is we're going to undercut the crap out of the Game Boy, and that's how we're going to make our money.
It was a good plan until it didn't work.
Yeah, and so they started this sucker out at $50, $50 US.
Yep.
That was a good plan because at the time, Nintendo was selling the Game Boy for $89. You know, this is in 92, okay? So Nintendo, they're not gonna get jobbed out by anybody. And so they were like, all right. So they started offering a Game Boy package, right, for $59.
Yeah.
So Watara was like, well, we're screwed. And they were.
Yeah, and they were screwed.
this thing didn't do too well. Now, we mentioned it runs on 4 AAs. You've also got a multiplayer port. Now, the multiplayer port, I don't know how many games supported that, Brent.
Zero.
No, did they not have any that supported
it? Zero supported it.
Well, by God, they had one if you needed it. I thought maybe Tennis supported it.
Zero games supported the link cable.
It also had a cable that you plug this thing into a TV box, and then you could play this on your television, which that were way ahead of the game on that, man.
Well, they did beat Nintendo. Nintendo, of course, later came out with their Super Game Boy player that you plugged into your Super Nintendo that would go to your television. They beat them to market with that. However, the SuperVision version of it would only work with some of the SuperVision models.
Yeah, and there are tons. There's a bunch of models.
I'm not saying that killed it. I mean, I think this was DOA.
Yeah.
But it was showed that they were actually in there trying to be innovative and trying to be competitive. And you have to respect that a little bit. A lot bit, really.
Yeah. This thing had several different names. It was mostly known as the Supervision. And they would change the first part from Vitar to other stuff. In the UK, it was known as the Quick Shot Supervision. And apparently it had some success. This got released in the UK, Canada, the USA. It's like, I mean, it got spread around. It's not like it didn't appear anywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, it did okay. As far as anyone knows, there are around 47 to 48 games for it, which is not the worst, is it, Brandon? But we've covered
some of that. No, that's a respectable library as long as it was around.
So, I mean, it's got some decent coverage. Now, people that have played an actual Supervision, which admittedly I've obviously seen video, but I've never actually played one. People that have played them sort of say the screen stinks on this thing.
Yeah.
that's one of the big gripes.
Yeah, something you mentioned, you said that the screen on the Supervision is larger than the Game Boy screen, which is true.
Yeah.
However, it actually has a lower pixel ratio, which means the screen is actually a lower resolution per area, and the refresh rate on this thing is just abysmal. Every game, unless you are playing very slow puzzle games, is just a smeary, teary mess.
Yeah, it's not good. You know, I will say that having emulated it, obviously, in emulation, it's better, I would wager, just for having seen the actual gameplay. And I've read that, too.
So, well, yeah, absolutely.
So this is one machine where emulation is probably the way to go, if overbuying one in terms of the way it's going to look. I looked over the library for this game. Now, I purposely didn't play anything but what we selected because I didn't want, well, for one thing, we had plenty to play, but also I had a feeling we might come back this way sometime because there's a lot of games this day, but almost all, at least probably half the games, maybe more, were like clone type games of arcade games. There were some homages to Nintendo games, you know, like stuff that was sort of kind of like a cut-rate Zelda or something like that.
Yep.
It looks like a system that just never really took off. If you look at the games list, almost all the games for it were made in 92, and a large chunk of the games were made by the company that made the actual machine. There's really only two or three companies that made games for this thing, and they put out some games, but most of the games came from the Watara themselves.
Yeah, so, and actually, they proved by their quality that they are one of the worst to program for the machine. All of the third-party games have better use of the screen. They do more with the system. Something we should mention about this, the sound on this thing is actually really good.
I think the capability of the sound to be good. I have to say, I wasn't overly impressed with the music in any of the games that we played, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I think you're wrong.
Well, I mean,
we'll get into that on a game-by-game basis, I guess.
Fair enough. So, out of these 47, 48 games, we were tasked to play a couple. And we actually went the extra mile. We're presenting four games today. We have a couple mystery games that we picked late just to have something else to get into. I guess I'll start the show off Brentster this week.
All right.
I really struggled to find games that would interest me, you know. But I went ahead and just jumped in the pool here. And so the first one we're going to look at is called Kitchen War, Brent, which every time I go to the kitchen, it's a freaking war. I can tell you that right now, man. Now, Kitchen War was published by Atari, which I think all these were, but it was developed by Bond Treasure Company Limited, or Corporation Limited. They did 28 titles they did a ton of titles on this thing.
I think they did every game that we're reviewing today.
Yeah. That's not true. There's actually, we have an outlier there. This came out in 92, which again, almost all of these came out. There were a few that came out in 93. And this was actually, this is a game, a rare game, Brett, where I found people that programmed it. and I'm going to try to sing. I'm going to try to pronounce their names too. It was programmed by Lee Hong, who also worked on the game Police Bust. And you call this a bust? Very impressive. Whatever it was.
Police Bust.
Yeah, Police Bust. The graphics were done by Zhang Lee, and the music. And this is where I'm going to be in trouble. Zhu Hu Hu worked on Cave Wonders, Climber, Delta Hero, Earth Defense, and Jackie Lucky. So he worked on quite a few of these musically. So, what is Kitchen War? Kitchen War is...
That's a good question.
It's described as an arcade platform game with a food theme. That part I got. you control a chef who is a tomato, despite the opening screen where it looks like a man. In the game, you're a tomato in a chef hat and feet.
And a box art where you're a human chef.
Yeah, right. I guess they couldn't render a human. So you run through a platformed kitchen, and it's overran by vermin. By the way, that's the plot of this.
Yeah.
Your kitchens, think about this for a minute. First of all, you're a cook who is food. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a flaw right there. And your cook is trying to stave off this endless stream of vermin in the kitchen.
That's
so
correct.
Far, saying this has a food theme, it's not a good food theme.
And it also has very little to do with actual food.
Right.
In fact, you are the most food part of the game.
You're the only food part, I think. So as you run through this platformed area, you see gate like doorways. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is what, without playing the game, this is what attracted me to the game. Because if you watch just a video of this, you'll see the little tomato cook run into these doorways. And you're like, oh man, look at this. There's like extra door areas, like an extra element in the game.
Yeah.
Well, there is, but there ain't. And what there ain't is anything for you. It's a cutscene of your guy going and grabbing whatever's in the room. A slow, slow, slow cutscene.
Yeah.
As your tomato wanders over and grabs whatever's in the room. Now, so what is in the room? Well, stuff like forks, spoons, knives, bottles of ketchup. They're in the room. Now, what do you do with these weapons? Well, you come out of the room and you use them to fend off the vermin. Now, here's where it starts to get sketchy for old A. Because I don't have any idea how you complete a level. I don't have any idea if you could kill. Because if you walk up to a door, sometimes the vermin will come out of these doors. And let's say a mouse runs out and you hit him with a fork and kill him. All right? You're like Abdul the Butcher. You know, hit it, fork him. Well, another mouse will instantly reappear where he was. You could kill him,
yeah,
too. Then another one will come out. And I'm just like, wait a minute. What are we doing here? You only have so many charges on these utensils,
yes,
before they run out. And so I don't know if the object of this game is to... See, my first thought was you need to go to every room. That was my first thought. But that didn't work. So then I thought, well, you have to kill all the vermin. But that didn't work either because it won't die. So my next thought was, well, there must be a specific vermin that you have to go after. Like there's this big spider. I thought maybe you have to kill him. That didn't work either. So I can tell you without hesitation, I never got off this game. I never one time did I get off this first board. How was your luck on this one, Brent?
Well, again, I came into this not knowing what was going on. And like you, I went into the room and I was like, oh man, he's kind of slow going to getting objects. Well, maybe I found the hidden object and I won't have to go back in here. And I was like, okay, I'll go to the edge of the screen. Huh, nothing. So it's like, all right, I'll go back to the middle. I was like, maybe I need to find something in one of these rooms before I can advance. So I went in all the rooms.
Yeah,
I was just avoiding... Yeah, oh, there's about six or seven.
Yeah.
I was avoiding enemies as much as possible because I saw that my weapons had a charge. So I went through all the rooms and I collected all the items and it just kept replacing, you know, what item I was using to fire with. So I was like, okay, maybe I have to clear everything out. So I started killing everything. And like you said, they just keep respawning instantly. So I was like, okay. I noticed the only special thing that it tracked inside of the pause menu were spiders.
So far, everything you said is exactly what I said.
Yeah, it was the exact same experience. So I went and tried to find all the spiders and kill all them. And then I was finally like, you know what? I'm done. And I was done. I just quit.
Something else that bears a mention is that I also couldn't exactly tell how many times you could be hit and what exactly killed you. Because your guy can take some hits, but I can't tell how many. Sometimes instantly he gets killed. Sometimes he can take several hits. It was the darndest thing. Oh, and I should also mention that when you die, it just says, miss. You missed, or something like that, with exclamation points. It doesn't say you died. It says you missed. I don't know what that means either.
Now, there is a health meter inside of the pause menu. But,
good tip. That's a good place to put it.
I'm gonna say if Kitchen Wars, this one you let's just move on.
Yeah.
Don't play Kitchen Wars.
Yeah, I'm glad this was
a bonus review because this game was really bad.
I
take that back. What was presented was fine. It all worked fine. Though going inside the doors took a long time. That part of it kind of sucked.
The music was bizarre too. It was random notes.
No, I kind of dug it.
Wow.
But the actual, going up the ladders, shooting the objects, all that controlled fine.
Uh-huh.
But there was just nothing obvious to do. And I tried researching it. Of course, there's nothing out there on Kitchen War. There's tons of things on Kitchen War, but there's just no supervision Kitchen War.
Right.
This one, a big fail, big pass on this one.
Yeah, and the thing is, the opening screen has a cool picture. I had high hopes for this one, but I don't know. I mean, maybe if we knew exactly how to play it, it would be more fun, but I don't think so. And we should also mention that it's super slow.
I think we do know how to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of supervision games, they really dialed down the speed.
Yeah.
Because the screen was so bad. So what looks really slow is really slow. So
that's good to know. We didn't get any reviews from this, so we didn't tell people we're going to be playing it. Okay, Brent, what do you got coming out? What's on your docket?
My bonus game, we did a little bit of tennis, and the actual name is the Watara Supervision Game Tennis Pro 92. Guess what? It came out in 92.
Makes sense.
There's not a whole lot out there on this. It is a basic one-player tennis game. And what's kind of funny is I would have assumed this was something that was going to use a link cable because the very first option you're given is whether you want to play single player or single player.
Yeah, there is no option. Yeah. This is the least option-rich menu of all time. I thought that was great. See, that's why I thought maybe you needed the cable for this one.
It does not actually support the link cable. No game did.
Yeah.
So, as a tennis game, I mean, tennis, you either know tennis or you don't know tennis. There's a few things that are really bad about this game. You hit start, you choose your difficulty. First of all, if you choose pro, forget about it. The computer is godlike. And it actually moves in these robotic fashions. It's just training on where the ball is going to go. It starts running things before you even swing. It's ridiculous. I couldn't score a single point against it. So I recommend playing just the beginner level. At least then you'll have a little bit of fun. And it's still challenging enough just because of everything else. The next screen that pops up, it's supposed to be how many games have been won, you know, how many game sets and match and all that kind of thing. But it is so ugly. It has a picture of the crowd underneath of a scoreboard, but it is all just a pixelated mess. I could not believe how bad it was. And then on top of that, it presented the game, and I couldn't, the first time it came up, I couldn't even tell what it was. So I already am feeling bad about the game. The actual tennis elements of it are not bad. You have a normal shot and a lob shot as your two buttons. The serve, you know, you throw the ball up and you can use the directional pad to kind of adjust which side of the court, which side of the box you want to hit it in. You can fault, which a lot of these tennis games, no matter what you do, it won't let you fault. But this does have ways you can hit the ball and fault, which means that it's actually programmed instead of just to do this type of hit every time. You can actually do a little bit of controlling on how the hit is done. So I appreciate that. The major problem with this is the computer will lob the ball anytime you come close to the net and hit it away from you every other time. It's programmed to be unrealistic. The guy can almost always get to the ball, and it that really cuts down the fun, unless you do the cheat, which is serve all the way to one side, immediately charge the net, and hit the ball to the other side. And if you do that, the computer on normal level will never be able to get to it, which it sucks, because that means that once you know that cheat, you use it every time to get to win a match, which makes the game not fun. What did you experience on this, Aaron? Did you find any little cheats like that? Man,
it's like we played two different games to me.
Seriously.
I thought the screen where it had the scoreboard and the crowd looked great. I thought that's some of the best graphics I saw on this entire machine.
No, I thought it was awesome.
It looked great.
No,
I liked it.
Totally disagree.
I also thought the tennis courts looked fine. The problem I had with this game was I sucked. I couldn't win a point. My guy kept hitting the ball into the net over and over.
Low difficulty?
Oh, yeah. I didn't stray off the low difficulty. I can tell you that. There was no chance I couldn't win a single point on the high one. Serving wasn't the problem, but just volleying. I couldn't get the ball back over. You know, most good tennis games, you have to you can hold the button and sort of guide the ball. I don't know what you do in this game. I have no idea how you actually return the ball. I couldn't do it. Every time I hit the button, he would just swing. You get one shot at it. When you hit the button, he swings. Usually, if you hold the button down until you want to swing, that's the way it's used.
No, this game. No.
This was not like that. And so the actual, so I give this game, I liked the graphics. I liked the in-between parts. And I liked the actual way the tennis looked, but I didn't really get down with the actual tennis gameplay. I will say this one, I thought this game had a lot of potential to have been a decent game, but I just couldn't get into the actual gameplay. And I did not know about that cheat, because I would have used the heck out of that. It's a shame that they didn't include different modes, different surfaces. So I know this is the Game Boy era, but they still could have came up. Yeah, but they could have done something, doubles or something in there, you know, and a single player tennis game with no options and all they had is a difficulty level. That's lame. It's lame.
And let me stress something on this. I didn't think the graphics on the actual game part were bad. Only the scoreboard before you actually go into the game was just a muddled mess. So bad that I couldn't figure out what was going on it.
There's a lot on the scoreboard, but I thought it looked okay.
Nah. It took me two showings of it before I actually thought and figured out what it was. So, overall, though, this is probably the second best game that I feel like we played.
Yes, I agree with that.
There is absolutely no reason to emulate this. You can get a better tennis experience on any other system out there. on the old eBays, you can buy this brand new in the blister pack for $17.
Yeah, we should mention that there are two different types of, really a couple different types of boxes on these things. And I should mention that the Kitchen War is $17 as well in a blister. In Europe, they got proper boxes, all right? And you get a box and the cartridge in the box. In the U.S., they released these, and I think the Neo Geo Color was like this, too, in America. I remember that. We've seen them before, but they released these in blister packs where you just have to rip it open to get the cartridge out. And so, guess what? Those things suck. If you're buying these to collect, and you can never play the game, ever. Otherwise, you have to rip it open. If you're going to try to get these, stick to the ones in the boxes. You have to import them, Brent. But, yeah, this game... Not the best in my opinion. So
I would imagine on the actual supervision screen, this thing would be atrocious.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's hard to track the ball even on an emulator. You end up tracking the shadow.
Yeah.
So I would assume this is something best left to the emulator.
I agree. So for my second offering, I couldn't resist picking Super Kong. Super Kong, better than any regular Kong because
He's Super Kong.
That's right. So when I saw this game come across this a little montage of games, I was like, "There's my boy right there." This has a Donkey Kong like gentleman in it. It's got a this game is a real unusual title. I have to say that I don't think I've ever played anything quite like it before. Because it is, it's a combination of several things. So, in Super Kong, you play a kid, a young child who goes up and down a vine, chucking stuff at a giant monkey on another vine. That's pretty
I believe
much
you're
the
supposed
game.
To be a caveman.
No, according to everything I read, he's a small child, right? So Super Kong's on the other vine. All you've got to do is hit him enough to force him down. So. Here's what I think we're looking at here, okay? I've thought about this. This game, I think I would bet my dollars to donuts that these guys sprite ripped some crap out of Donkey Kong 3. I don't know if there's a Donkey Kong 3 game for the Game Boy, is there, or some system, but I think what they did was they took Donkey Kong. They all they did was add a tail to him, which is bizarre because gorillas don't have monkey tails.
Yeah.
So picture a gorilla with a monkey tail. And then...
where his super comes from.
That's right. And then they... Because if you'll recall, and no one likes Donkey Kong 3. It's sort of like the unpopular one of the bunch. But
it's a shooter.
Well, I mean, I like it for what it is. I think it's a fun game. You know, it's a different... But it's not Donkey Kong's 1 and 2. We both know that, or Donkey Kong Jr. In this game, the Donkey Kong or Super Kong has all the same gimmicks that he does in Donkey Kong 3. The same looks on his face. He chucks stuff in that one, and plus at the bottom of the screen, you'll see these caterpillars or worms come out. They are also ripped directly from Donkey Kong 3.
Yes.
So you've got a lot. Do you think it was a sprite rip on this, man? Do you think that's what this was?
It definitely was not an artistic rendering.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks directly pulled off.
So let's talk about this real quick. Let's see the details. Released in 92, surprise, surprise. And this one was developed by Thin Chin Entertainment, Brent. Now they actually did some games not on this machine. They did Kung Fu Street, which I almost picked. Final Combat Pyramid, which Pyramid's supposed to be a pretty good game. On the NES, they did a game called Huge Insect. They did a game called Q-Boy, and a game you actually heard of, Super Pang 2. On the Super Nintendo, they did Super Buster Brothers. Huh? That's a real company. They did real games. And they did a ton of games on a machine called the Mega Duck, which we should probably add to the wheel at some point.
It's on there.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's an upcoming piece.
Now, this game, if you just chuck stuff at Super Kong, it'd be kind of lame. So floating between the two vines is just stuff. Bells, blocks, clocks, just stuff that floats down, and it blocks your projectiles. It doesn't block Super Kong's projectiles. Super Kong can just throw his crap anywhere. When Super Kong's getting ready to chuck whatever, it looks like he's chucking like the Eye of Sauron or something. I don't know what exactly he's throwing, but when he chucks it, he winds up and he lets go of the vine with one arm, and so you know something's coming, and that means you need to move because it's coming to where you're at. You know, I didn't have too much trouble getting to level 9 on this. I easily got there.
Really?
And then after that, it got a little trickier. Now, the funny thing about this game, and I was going to ask you about this because, I mean, I know how you are. Your guy can jump. One of the buttons, you've got two buttons on this. One, it chucks stuff, and the other one jumps off the vine. All right? And you can jump off the vine and get on the ground. I can never figure out why you would ever do that. I never got on the ground.
Because the caterpillars will eventually climb up your vine, and you have to jump off of your vine to avoid them.
I assumed that would happen, but I got to almost level 10 and never saw, they never got anywhere near me. How far did you get in this one?
8.
So you never saw it either then, presumably. Did you just let them go over there?
The worms got to my side on several occasions.
I was too quick. I would always knock... I would always knock this guy out easy. Like I said, there were a few times towards the end. There were a few times because his throw angle gets a lot nastier. You know, that's basically the difficulty. There's a timer in this that rolls down, but there are so many clocks that came down. When you get the clocks, you get extra time. I never had any trouble with that. There are also hearts that come down, and I think if you get enough of those, you get like an extra man because you don't get the something gave me an extra man. You don't have hit points or anything. The gauge at the top is sort of deceptive. It looks like you've got like hit points, but you don't. This game, I actually enjoyed this game, to be honest with you. Also, when you finish, as I mentioned, there's a huge fireworks display, and if you don't touch your start button, it just goes on for about 5 minutes.
It never ends.
There are some weird transitional effects. The music's in. They've got a little bit of everything in this, but overall, this was far and away my favorite of the four games. I mean, it wasn't even close. This had the best graphics and the best gameplay. Would this gameplay have been fun on an actual supervision? I don't know. It seems like all that smearing with all this crap going across the screen might be difficult, and I'm guessing that's why Super Kong's projectile is so weird looking. They probably need to make it big and weird looking so you can see it on the screen. That'd be my guess. So what were your thoughts on this one, Brinster?
I did not enjoy this one as much as you did. While yes, it is the best looking of the bunch, it's because they cheated. So I'm not giving them credit for that.
Cheating good!
No. Also, this had no original thought at all. It is you on one side, enemy on the other side, just hit them a bunch until they fall down. Your enemy has an unfair advantage where his projectiles can go at angles yours can't. You throw straight across, that's it. You can't do anything about it. Kongs can be thrown at slight angles, which basically anticipate your movement up and down. It doesn't make it hard to avoid. It just makes it that's where the challenge comes in. If the game does get a little harder as you go on, I don't think I lost because I suck. I think I lost because I got bored. The bombs, if you shoot those, it makes all the other objects on the screen instantly fall to the ground.
Yeah.
So you can shoot a bomb and then get a lot of shots in.
And there are tons of bombs.
Yeah, in fact, that's the biggest issue. There is so much of everything else, clocks, bombs, hearts, although honestly, I don't know what the hearts actually do.
Bells.
Well, but the bombs and the clocks and the hearts are all beneficial.
Yeah.
Where everything else just kind of gets in the way.
By the way, I think the blocks in this are also lifted from a Mario or a Donkey Kong game.
I would assume everything is.
Yeah.
I would assume they don't have an original original sprite in the entire game.
Still, they took all those various pieces and put something together. It's a kind of a fun, playable game, I thought.
No, this one just wasn't for me. I enjoyed this more than I enjoyed Kitchen Wars. But that's about it.
That's low praise.
They could have done so much more and didn't. It just, well, and it's all stolen anyway. Every bit of it's stolen.
We should mention that one of the things I liked about this, which, you know, we said they stole a ton of stuff. All right, we agree with that. Here's two things they didn't steal. All right, they did not steal the vines from anything because it looks like Super Kong and the young boy are on stripper poles or something. They're just long poles. They don't have any vines or anything. And something else I didn't steal was a Super Kong death scene. Because when Super Kong hits the ground, you can tell that whoever drew the Kong on the pole did not draw the Kong on the ground. The Kong on the ground is not a well done art. It looks some stupid looking art on there. So I think that's one thing we can't agree on, that there was probably some art lifted. Let's see what our listeners thought about this. We got a few listener reviews this week. First on the docket, who was with us in chat here, Frodo and L, who says about the Super Kong, not the most interesting game ever. It becomes repetitive rather quickly. The graphics are okay, although Kong looks a bit off. The sound is rather limited, but functional. Not my thing. 3 out of 10. He killed it. Frodo, no.
I think this is a very killable game.
Graham, yeah. Who's also quietly in chat, writes, I have no words. The music is like an ambulance siren in level 1. The instant you move, you are almost certain to die, and staying still guarantees you will die. The aim of this game is to throw balls at Kong and knock him down the rope. It's so unfair because Kong's a super ball, flies through obstacles, but your balls either bounce or do other things to the playfield. I would rather have smashed the Watara if this was my only game. Man, imagine being the parent and your child was playing this in your car. I bet this game caused road accidents. 2 out of 10. Double. My God.
Yep.
Double murder. Double murder on my game. I can't believe it. I really did. I liked this game. I thought I had a lot of fun playing it. I mean, if this is a game I would probably go back and play. I will say, clearly I had more success at it than Graham did. Because you can anticipate where Kong's going to throw. And it's one thing is, as the levels go on, the later levels, you can actually, Kong's aim gets a lot. It becomes more clever how he throws his ball.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes the game, I mean, you're barely able to get out of the way. And so I thought that was a fun element. Well, Brent,
I got murdered. Here's the thing. This is one game that if this sounds interesting to you, this is something I would say at least find an emulator and play it, because you're not going to play Super Kong anywhere else.
That's the truth.
Can play elements of Super Kong in a lot of other games, but the actual gameplay itself is Super Kong is a SuperVision exclusive.
I'm going to dig in to see exactly where they lifted those, but I bet my bottom dollar is a Game Boy version of Donkey Kong 3 floating around somewhere.
I would say so.
So, Brent, I should also mention before we shut down on Kong, I did look this up on eBay. Kong, I couldn't find a solo Kong, and I couldn't find one that has sold, but I saw it selling with 3 other games for $135, which, let's say, if it's a fourth of that, you know, you're looking at, what was it, about $35, $40, something like that.
I'll pass.
You know, it's not for everybody. Okay, bro, what are you bringing to the table to as the main event tonight?
We have a rare treat today. We have a game on a system that is, it's all about, you know, stealing, or it wants to be something else. And then this game comes out of nowhere that is absolutely 100% original. We've got Juggler for the SuperVision.
Wow, what an intro for this game.
Let's take a step back. When you play a game, you like to see innovation. You like to see something that you haven't seen before, and you get as old as we do, that really starts to become hard to find, right? And when I loaded up Juggler, and first of all, the music is peppy, it's high beat. I wish it didn't play through the entire game because it definitely gets repetitive. Mm-hmm. But you see the opening screen there, and you've got your magician guy, and he's doing a magic the three box magic trick where you separate the person in the middle, and you're like, okay, this could be interesting, and you start out, and they do something so good from a game development standpoint. You cannot die on the first level, and they do that because this game is a unique beast. It's probably something you've never seen before. You're a magician, and you take off your hat, and from it you produce a ball. And every time that you bounce that ball off your head, the ball will increase in size. And anytime you use your magic wand, which is the same button as take your hat off, and touch the ball will explode into multiple or multiple large projectiles, depending on how long you kept the ball up from when you first released it, which will allow it to rain down death upon your enemies.
Or up.
Or up. Yes, because it does arc just like the bouncing ball does. It is such a simple concept, and it is such it's a little play on something we've all played before. It is just so pure. It is great gameplay. You want to get the ball large, and then you want to pop it and watch all those other balls, you know, rain down on your enemies. Perfect, beautiful, fun. Unfortunately, with the limitations of the supervision, this game is so hamstring that it is just devastating. First of all, whoever came up with the original concept of this game, absolute kudos to you. I really wish that someone would have taken this and ran with it. And did more with it than what the supervision does. Because the game gets so repetitive, the levels get so asinine, that the great concept that you start with, where your magician is juggling these balls and then does a magic trick to make them explode and go everywhere, that concept is wasted on horrible level design, shoddy hit detection, and just overall bad. Everything else is so good about this game, and the sprite for your little magician, he's wearing a top hat, and he's got a wand, he's wearing the tail suits. He could have been a mascot for a gaming system. I seriously believe that. His sprite is so well designed for the limitations of the system. Hitting the bubble around, hitting the ball around, is a lot of fun. So, to see what they did with it was just so, so depressing. Aaron, I know that you have a completely different take on this game. What did you feel about it?
Well, this game listen, I like some of what you said. I mean, you're not wrong. The guy is a cool-looking guy. The concept is, I will say, I've never seen before. You know, although Roy, calling this guy Juggler is not, he's more like, I don't know what you would call him.
He's a magician that makes really a ball juggle. And then he juggles it.
He juggles a ball,
yes,
with his head. That's not juggling. That's tossing a ball up in the air. That's soccer. That's not juggling. But that's being nitpicky. This game just didn't do it for me. And part of the reason is it's so bloody slow. It's incredibly slow and choppy. And you sort of nailed it when you said that the system wasn't made to play a game like this, or the people that programmed it just didn't do a good job, you know, because it's just so slow. There are parts of this game, I didn't get very far into it, and it didn't do it for me, to be honest with you. But
do you know what level you got to?
I don't.
Any idea?
I played it a couple times, but
are we talking three? Are we talking?
Yeah.
Did you get to the first boss?
No, I didn't get to the boss.
Okay.
But it was just it just was too slow and boring. I didn't do it for me. This game had potential. This game would be great to remake somewhere, you know, or even just steal the concept of it, because I don't really think I've seen the concept used before.
Not quite like this.
You know, but truth of the matter is, it's just not fun. I know everyone seemed to like this game and not like Super Kong, but Super Kong, one thing you could say about it is it plays quickly. It's more of an arcade experience, and there is a game there. This game is just so, I mean, and Kitchen War is sort of like this too. They took a game, it's everything, it takes so long to happen. It's so slow. Even those old games, even the old Nintendo handhelds, LC, you know, Liquid Crystal games were quicker than this. I mean, it's just too slow. There is no time limit either. I mean, you can just sit in these levels forever.
Wrong.
I sat on a level for like 15
minutes. So much
of what
you just said.
All right, go ahead.
Juggler has two attacks. If you just let the ball float down, right?
Uh-huh.
It will stun the enemies instead of kill them.
But it doesn't kill them. It just makes a noise.
Yeah. If you don't explode the juggle, it just stuns them. If you are on a level long enough, and I know this because some of the levels later get crazy, a beast head will come onto the screen and track your guy down and just kill you.
I was on a screen for literally like 15 minutes, and there was,
well,
so maybe that's later on.
I played this game for 4.5 straight hours.
That's
and
scary.
My main goal was to spell juggler, because every time you kill an enemy, a letter floats up. Like, you know, lots of games do that. Bubble type games. And if you, you could collect all the letters to the word juggler, except using save states, because every time you die, you lose all your letters. Using save states and getting to level 19.
Very impressive.
I never once got J for the word juggler. And I determined, I believe, that what letter you get is not random. It's based on your position on the screen vertically. Okay? So I think J is at the very absolute top of the screen, so high that your character can't actually get there. I could be wrong, but I tried like gangbusters and never could complete the word.
You may be the foremost world knowledge man on the. You may be the expert of juggler on Earth. I doubt anyone's put that much thought into it.
Thing two.
Yeah.
The score for juggler, right? It goes up to like the millions or the 10 million digit mark.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Lies. The score will actually loop itself at 10,000. So the first three or four zeros mean nothing. They're just there for window decoration, and you will actually loop the score at 10,000.
Did you loop it?
Oh yes. Oh, I found this is all. I mean, you can't look all this crap up on the internet. This was all just playing.
You're writing the book, my friend. I give you credit for being that person. Your perseverance on this. You know
there are bosses.
Yeah.
To this game. It looks to be about every eight levels, and they are different heads that will just float around in the exact same figure eight type pattern. They take an obscene amount of hits, and they are absolutely no threat. As once you know their pattern, you just literally go to the side of the screen they are not on, and they're super easy to beat. It looks like enemy sprites. There are three different enemy sprites. There might be more later. I have a save state. I'm going to go back. I'm going to try to play more. Level 19, I literally could not get past. I didn't give up. I just found it physically impossible to get one of the guys. But I'm going to eventually get there. Something else about the game. Let's see. I talked about the boss. Oh, there are elevators on some of the levels that you can ride up and down. So there are different stage elements later into the game that add a little bit. If you, when you first start a level, you're invincible, right? If you stay on a bad guy, you can stay invincible indefinitely. However, if you take off your hat to eject a bow to start your juggle or perform your magic trick, it will kill you. But you can actually walk around on all the enemies for indefinitely. I think that's it. Juggler has a dying animation. All of the animations for Juggler are really good. Oh, the hit detection is totally shifted to the right. It's when you're bouncing the juggles off of your head, it is very difficult to make them go left. You have to actually bounce it off of what you're, is essentially your sprite's stomach.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. It's hard to keep that bubble in play. It always yes. was, and that was very frustrating to me.
Yeah, yes. And all of this, all of it is just bad programming. The concept is sound. The level design is horrible. Because the enemies just walk, right? And they'll eventually, when they get to the edge of the screen, they'll usually teleport up the side. Or they can fall through the bottom of the screen. You can't. There are some levels that have pits. Also, your juggler's jump is almost never high enough to get up to a platform that you were previously on. On the later levels, he can only jump two block heights high, even though it looks like you've got a much larger jump. And level design later on didn't take that into account, and you can't jump back up onto platforms. I'm just saying there is so much that could have been done with this game, and the concept is really good. It kills me that they didn't do more with this. That's all I got to say.
I'll give you credit. I've rambled long enough. That was a deep, deep look into Juggler. We did get some listener reviews on this one. Frodo and L writes, surprisingly fun game. I expected something like either the arcade game Gypsy Juggler or Nintendo's Game & Watch Ball. Instead, we get to control a juggler who uses balls as weapons in an interesting way. Having no manual is not a problem due to the first two levels, which is impossible to die.
Yeah.
All in all, a nice game that, at least in an emulator, is fun to play. So he gives that 8.5 out of 10.
I would imagine on the actual system, this game is unplayable.
Yeah. Our good buddy Graham chimes in. Interesting title music, and what about that mustache? The music goes on and on with the same tune, almost to insanity level.
It does.
It's an okay puzzle game with a ball that, when juggled, expands when you hold your hat out, turns into a larger ball, into small weapon-type balls, which attack in the room. I don't think it would have held my attention for that long back in the day, but I'd like to see a Coco or ZX Spectrum homebrew remake to expand this concept. 7 out of 10.
Absolutely.
I agree. I think this game is ripe for a do-over. And it would not be the worst idea on this one. But, you know, me personally, it didn't do it for me. Of all the four games we played, I would rank them Super Kong, Tennis, Juggler, and Kitchen War as the last ones. Because at least even in Juggler, I knew how to finish a level. Where in Kitchen War, I had no idea.
I would rank these Juggler, Tennis, Super Kong, and then Kitchen War.
You put Super Kong below Tennis?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Did you look this up on eBay, by the way?
Yes, I did look Juggler up on eBay. A loose cart for this bad boy can be had for as little as $18 American.
Man, you should pick that up, dude. I bet
I don't have a Supervision. Plus, I would imagine this would play just horribly.
I actually looked up the Supervision. You can get one for about $70 and up if you want one. So there you go.
I think that's a little high because I heard the fail rate on these screens are astronomical. So much so that the community is actually trying to put together a screen replacement kit
it. Once the community gets that taken care of, that's when you make your move.
There you go.
Speaking of making the move, let's make the move to the wheel. It's wheel time, Brent. That's right, by God. I have jacked up the wheel this week. Here it comes. Brent, we've added the Enterprise 64/128 to the wheel this week. And our retro system, our retro rewind system, is the ColecoVision Atom. The Atom, Brent. Brent, tell them about these lock pieces.
Yes. Since John Bodekar Schaller's departure from the TRS-80 Atari 1200 XL and Sinclair show due to a new job obligation, we've decided to lock those pieces into the wheel. Even if they get spun, they're going to stay right where they're at least until the Thanksgiving Marathon in November. So we might just be playing TRS-80 after TRS-80 after TRS-80 game, and I don't think anyone would be sad. At least I know I wouldn't be.
Correctamundo. Let's spin this sucker. Here we go. All right. Anybody want to call it? We got called last week early. There it is. And we have... Is that the Enterprise 64? We just put it on.
Oh my gosh.
The Enterprise 64/128.
And Pixels nailed it. Pixels called it in chat.
Oh my goodness. Unbelievable, man. So, there we go. We are going to be playing the Enterprise. You know, I've heard of this game. I've heard of this system, Brent, but I've not actually ever played anything on it. I know it's emulated, so that won't be a problem. So, I'm looking forward to that. That should be a lot of fun. Again, we will keep those locked items on for the foreseeable future. Brent, any business we had to take care of before we shut this sucker down?
No, I think everything is covered in the old outro.
Wait a minute. There is one piece of business that I mentioned. Oh. I told you to remind me. You didn't.
Don't forget that thing.
For our friends that won our patented ARG SD cards, don't fret. We didn't forget about you. We just haven't sent them because we haven't got when after you won, we never got back together. And
yeah.
Brent has. We were actually planning on having live shows together 2 weeks ago, but in an abundance of caution, due to Brent's job, we have decided to keep it remote for now. Hopefully, maybe next week or the week after, we'll be back to being in the studios out in the arcade. But for now. We've decided to take care of business remotely. So, hey, we want to thank everyone who showed up in the chat room. Brent, you want to give out some shout-outs there?
Let's hit up some of our lurkers. We got another viewer. We got Cal Bird Boy.
Oh, yes, we know Cal.
Let's see. We got some L. Curtis in chat. Didn't say anything, but we know you're there. And let's say a little hello to Virus020. And then for our chatty folk, we, of course, have Frodo NL, Duncan Styles, Picard, Pixels, Mitz, my lovely, lovely wife, Del Morte made an appearance in chat today. I know he's got some more names up at the top, but boy, my scrolling finger ain't getting there.
You
hey,
dumb.
Sam, 78886. Hello to you, buddy.
I like it. Shout them out, man. We want to thank everyone who is supporting us on Anchor, which we'll get right into. Again, next week, the Enterprise 64-128 should be a lot of fun, Brent.
And, should be something.
And again, those SD cards are in the works. By the way, thanks to the Slow Norris for sending us a big, huge bag of SD cards that we're gonna do something with them as soon as we actually get the chance to actually put some content on them. But we're going to have a lot of fun with those. And they'll be giving away as little goodies throughout the next year or two. So, we will see you next week. Thanks again, everybody. Hang out for the support video, and we will talk to you next time. Until then, bye for now.
Thanks for joining us today. We really hope you enjoyed the episode. We'd like to say hello to all of our YouTube subscribers, as well as all of our Twitch followers. We want to say a special thank you to Duncan Styles, who does all of our awesome Vectric graphics, and to BarkBit for writing our incredible closing theme. Would you like to help keep ARG spinning for as little as a dollar a month? You can do so at anchor.fm/ARG-presents. Help keep us spinning. Just like these fine folks. We'll
John Deckman, Chris Foles, Frodo NL, Gary Heather, Anthony Purvis, Graham W. Vetke, John Schaller, Terry Howard, Hermsky, and RetroAlgae. Don't want to explain another credit card bill? That's okay too. You can help us by leaving us a positive review on Apple iTunes and Spotify. Have an idea you'd like to add to the wheel? You can contact us at argpresents@mail.com. ARG films live on Twitch every Sunday, 9 a.m. EDT. Hope to see you there.